Just about any person alive with two crayons, orange and black, can make a passable picture of a monarch butterfly. They are that recognizable, probably the best-known butterfly by far, and that probably helps the efforts to bring the monarch back from declining populations. The numbers of the monarch have indeed been dropping. We'll spend this segment getting some idea of the reduction and the efforts to help the butterfly recover. Two guests in studio first. Robert Coffin is the co-founder of Southern Oregon Monarch Advocates, or SOMA. Hi, Robert. Good to see you.
Hi there, Jeffrey.
And Susie Savoy is here as well. She's a member of SOMA and the co-founder of the Klamath Siskiyou Native Seeds.
Good morning, Jeffrey. Thanks for having us.
Good to see you, Susie. On the phone from Washington State, we have Dr. David James, the founder and coordinator of the Pacific Northwest Monarch Tagging Program at Washington State University. Dr. James, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Good morning.
So why don't we start with you? Give us the current state of monarchs across their habitat, if you would.
Well, they are in a state of decline. I mean, it's been estimated that populations declined by about 70 to 80% over the last couple of decades. So their situation is threatened, and the population needs some help for sure.
Are they threatened officially? Are they on the endangered species list as threatened? Is it that level of concern?
They've been listed for endangered species recognition, and the decision will be made in a couple of years. We don't know what that decision will be, but they're being considered for that status right now.
All right. And I think, Robert, already sort of answered this question on the way into the room, because I was going to ask how they're doing in Southern Oregon, and you seemed excited that you saw one so far this year.
Well, what Dr. James just said is, of course, certainly true, and certainly true here. That's why we're so concerned. But yes, a little bit big news is that we always wait for them each year on their northward migration from their overwintering grounds and along the California coast. And yes, on May 3rd, up in the Applegate School, one of the taggers that Dr. James will be talking about again, the monarch taggers, one of her third graders saw a monarch butterfly. And as far as we know, it's probably the first one on its migration route back up. So good news, everybody. They're on their way all up. If you're listening further north, the population's on the move.
So this is about the time of year we'd normally expect to see them?
Yes. It fluctuates a little bit, and any of my colleagues, please chime in, but a couple of weeks either way, depending on the climate. But we all have our eyes peeled.
Talk about, you're the co-founder of Southern Oregon Monarch Associates, Monarch Advocates, rather. Tell us about what the decision was, the set of decisions that led to the formation of SOMA.
That's pretty simple. There's no secret handshake to the Southern Oregon Monarch Advocates. If anybody listening is an advocate for monarchs that fly through Southern Oregon, you can be a part of it. We're a bunch of grassroots volunteers. We all have our day jobs, and we all came together kind of disassociated for a while and then kind of coalesced because of the plight of the monarchs, and we all have some passion for it. Some people love to raise them and tag them. Some like to build way stations. We do outreach and education to youth, to adults. We're having this great venue that we'll talk about next week where Dr. James will be coming down to share. And probably three more things that I've forgotten. But that's the common thread. Otherwise, we go on to our day jobs.
Susie, what interested you enough to join Southern Oregon Monarch Advocates?
Well, I think I actually first fell in love with the species, plant species they rely on, which is the milkweed plant, Asclepias species. There's three native milkweeds in Southern Oregon. We have the narrowleaf milkweed, Asclepias fascicularis, showy milkweed, Asclepias speciosa, and heartleaf milkweed, Asclepias cordifolia. And I am conservation chair of the Siskiyou Chapter Native Plant Society as well, and I love native plants. And I fell in love with the milkweed and then learned about the common evolutionary history they have with the monarch butterfly and how important the milkweed is to the monarch. It's the only larval host plant for monarch butterflies. So, and then when I learned about SOMA happening and I started getting involved in SOMA, and it's a great way for people to get involved in conservation of monarch butterflies on a local level.
So is milkweed food and habitat? Or
yeah, it is. The caterpillars will use it as as food, eating the leaves, the plant has a toxicity to it that the caterpillars ingest, and that actually helps to make it less palatable to predators. So it's really beneficial to, you know, it's a great adaptation for the monarch to help it survive, to not be eaten by predators such as birds. But the adult monarchs actually really love the nectar of the milkweed as well. So, and then in the process, they help pollinate the plants. So it's a great mutualistic relationship.
Go ahead.
If I can chime in, the other pollinators love the milkweed plant as well. So it's a great plant species for all of our bees and other pollinators that people care about. And I have to mention, Susie, you're the first person I've heard that claims that the love for the monarch started with the plants. Very interesting.
Yeah.
I noticed that too. Okay, we're talking about monarch butterflies and their food sources and their survival with Robert Coffin and Susie Savoy of the Southern Oregon Monarch Advocates. On the phone is Dr. David James, who is the founder and coordinator of the Pacific Northwest Monarch Tagging Program at Washington State University. He'll be in Ashland next Tuesday for a symposium about our Western monarchs. How are they? Where are they at Southern Oregon University? You can join our conversation now at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So, Dr. James, let's talk about monarch tagging. The first time I heard that monarch butterflies were tagged, the first thing I thought of was it's not like they can carry a lot of additional weight.
Yeah, that's a common misconception. The tags we use are very small adhesive labels, and they really don't add a significant amount of weight for the butterfly, and the monarch is, you know, one of our largest butterflies and a strong, tough butterfly. So the tagging with these little labels has been conducted in the eastern U.S. for many decades, and it's the reason that we know their biology and their migration so well, because of the tagging program. So it's a tried and tested method that we're now, you know, using in the western U.S.
So how do you get to the monarchs to tag them, and what kinds of information have you received from the tagging program?
Well, just where they go. I mean, before we started the tagging, we only speculated that they migrated from the Pacific Northwest to California for overwintering, and there was some suggestion that maybe some of them go in a different direction. But, you know, it was all speculation, and so that's why we had to do the tagging, to actually have, you know, scientific data to back up these ideas about where they go. And that's what we've achieved over the last few years.
So we do know a lot more about their numbers and where they migrate to and from?
Yes, we do. We, you know, if we're talking about Southern Oregon, to date, all the recoveries we've had have all been on the California coast, you know, stretching from Bolinas just north of San Francisco down to Ventura, just north of L.A., down that strip of coastline, there's many overwintering colonies. And I think we've found Southern Oregon monarchs in many of those over the last couple of years.
And so is the number for monarch butterflies low enough that we're concerned about populations crashing? I mean, are we to the point of non-viability potentially? Is it that bad?
Probably not that bad yet, but the worry is that it will continue to decline, and we will reach that point. I mean, you know, we do have a population of monarch butterflies that re-enter the Pacific Northwest every year consistently. I mean, some years they're very low numbers, and other years they're quite good numbers, like the last couple of years, and it's good that we've seen one already this season. So it's not like they're going to go extinct any day now, but you know, the trend is worrying, and the trend has been going down since about 1997. So you know, we need to reverse it, and you know, in the last couple of years we seem to have at least stopped the downward trend. It hasn't, you know, rebounded in any significant way, but it certainly hasn't got any worse. And the work that we're doing, and you know, people like your guests there and other people in Southern Oregon can only help, you know.
Robert and Susie, is a lot of it just the eradication of the plants that like milkweed that the monarch butterfly needs?
It's a combination of many things. Also, the use of pesticides. The destruction of habitat. It's a combination of many different things. But there's a lot of things that we can do on a local level to help monarchs by planting monarch way stations to protect naturally occurring milkweed patches from being mowed or sprayed. Protecting monarch habitat on public land. There's a lot of things that people can do on a local level that really help in a tangible way. It's one of the only species in decline that we as individuals can do something about in our own backyards.
And in fact, I have seen a fair number of monarch butterfly way stations, things like that. So people seem to be already getting the message, and I imagine you're behind this at Southern Oregon Monarch Advocates to help people set up the places where monarchs can visit.
Well, I'd like to say we're definitely one, but there's a lot of people out there that might not be aware of this group that are already caring about the monarchs for whatever reason. But the interesting thing about these way stations and the milkweed that Susie mentioned is this doesn't have to be big scale. If you have a piece of land that's the size of a couple of bedrooms, that's big enough to put the basic four ingredients into a way station, which is milkweed for the caterpillars, nectar plants for the adults after they eclose or hatch, some shelter, and they all need a bit of water.
I would add that we have a great resource on the Southern Oregon Monarch Advocates website, which is www.somonarchs.org. And Tom Landis and I from Southern Oregon Monarch Advocates put together a really introductory guidebook on native pollinator plants for Southern Oregon that has a lot of native pollinator plants specifically for monarchs, too. So that's available on our website.
Do people tend to get rid of the milkweed? I mean, anytime you put weed in the name of a plant, you're probably asking for it to be eradicated. Is that a lot of it?
Yeah, it's kind of been one of those species that's been kind of denigrated over time because of the it's unpalatable to livestock. It's been eradicated from a lot of different places, and then also just tilling and it grows and it likes to grow in agricultural areas, and a lot of times tilling can destroy the populations too.
So a little bit more about your question about, well, what are the things that are adding to the issue, the decline? And another thing that I like everyone to think about is this is a migrating population. So think of the links of a chain. If there's a weak link anywhere that goes out, well, there goes the monarchs. So for instance, another aspect that people don't think about, these overwintering habitats, and I'm sure Dr. James has seen this. One of the butterflies that we released here with its little tag on its back hindwing was found 350 miles away in a eucalyptus tree that's now in a parking lot. I don't know if it was a Bi-Mart parking lot or whatever, and that's where these clusters of monarchs are overwintering, so their habitat loss down there. But anyone here in Southern Oregon can take heart because this link is a key link. This is one of the first stopping points for the monarchs when they start migrating back northward, getting all the way back up to Dr. James's turf in Washington, Idaho, and even Canada. And what we're doing here is making this link much, much stronger.
We're talking about monarch butterflies with Robert Coffin and Susie Savoy of the Southern Oregon Monarch Advocates and Dr. David James at Washington State University, who's the founder and coordinator of the Pacific Northwest Monarch Tagging Program. Here's a call from Mark in Redding. Welcome to the exchange.
Good morning.
Hi.
All my time in Redding, I don't remember ever seeing a monarch butterfly here, and I'm wondering if they're ever seen in Shasta County.
That is a good question. Let's see if one of the SOMO people can help us. Susie looks like she's winding up.
I think we have people in Shasta County that see them that have communicated with Southern Oregon Monarch Advocates. And there's also really lovely stands of milkweed in Shasta County as well. So I'd imagine they're there. And if you plant it, they will come as well. So, I think that if you were to actually go out and find some milkweed, you would probably find monarch butterflies in the summer.
Dr. David James, give us an idea of the uniqueness, if it is unique, of the migration of the monarch butterflies. They seem to cover quite a bit of distance in their annual travels.
Yeah, they are one of the very few insects that is able to travel such large distances. And because it's a large and familiar butterfly, it's a well-known migration. But it's nonetheless extremely remarkable how they can, travel thousands of miles in some cases, you know, to a location that they've never been to before, spend the winter there, and then come back again. It's one of the, you know, the marvels of the natural world, and you know, we, you know, until recently we knew very little about it in the West, and we're still, you know, there's still a lot more to learn, but it's certainly one of the, you know, incredible stories of natural history.
I remember talking to a pollination expert a while back that butterflies, while they do pollinate, are not quite as efficient as bees. It's sort of like things get stuck to them while they're visiting the plants themselves. Is that a fairly true statement?
Yes, but they're not as important as bees, but they certainly are important, and probably, you know, they've not been well investigated in the past as to how important they are. And as we now are more concerned about pollinators, there is more research being done, and we are finding, I think, that butterflies do play more of a role in pollination than we ever realized. It's just they've never been researched before.
Robert Coffin, why don't you tell us a bit about this gathering next Tuesday of people who like and are interested in monarchs?
Okay, sure. We've been working with Dr. James for a while. This area, he has a tagging champion down here that he works with, Linda Kappen. Hello, Linda, if you're out there. And a lot of us have never met the man, and he's really been taking the lead for... one thing I guess we should mention is this Western population, of course, is one. There's the big Eastern population as well that most people know about that go and migrate down to the wintering grounds in Mexico. So what we're doing over here has been very important, and we're trying to protect that. So we finally had an occasion to say, let's see if we can get him down here. And you know what? A lot of people got interested. So next Tuesday night, from 5:30 to 9, we'll have a list of speakers. We will have some tables out front first for people to get to know each other and catch up for a little while. And Dr. James will be our keynote speaker, as well as Susie here in the audience, and our own Dr. Tom Landis, who's probably provided more presentations than anybody I've ever met.
He's the other co-founder of Southern Oregon Monarchs. I want to point out this is a science building on the Southern Oregon University campus next Tuesday, 5:30 to 9. Final question I want to bring to Susie Savoy. Did you say showy milkweed? Is that really one of the varieties?
Yeah, showy milkweed. Yeah, and it is showy. It's a beautiful plant. Yeah.
All right. So much to learn about monarch butterflies. We've learned a bit today. I want to thank you all. Dr. James, thank you for being here. Susie Savoy and Robert Coffin from Southern Oregon Monarch Advocates. Very good to have you here in the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks, Jeffrey.
Thanks, Jeffrey.